A sex worker in Bangkok, a trader on Wall Street, and a monk deep in meditation. What could they possibly share? They're all lighting up the same neural pathway, the medial forebrain pleasure circuit. This ancient brain network doesn't distinguish between virtue and vice, charity and cocaine, prayer and pornography. It simply rewards. And that singular fact upends everything we thought we knew about addiction, morality, and human nature. In 1953, two researchers accidentally discovered this circuit while fumbling with rat brain electrodes. When rats could press a lever to stimulate their own brains, they abandoned everything – food, water, sex, even their newborn pups – to keep pressing 7,000 times an hour until they collapsed. This wasn't about avoiding pain or satisfying hunger. This was pure, uncut pleasure, so powerful it overrode every survival instinct evolution had spent millions of years perfecting. Deep in your brain sits a cluster of structures that existed long before you developed language, reason, or self-awareness. The ventral tegmental area releases dopamine like a sprinkler system, flooding the nucleus accumbens and other regions whenever you experience something rewarding. This isn't just about feeling good, it's about wanting, craving, pursuing. Even the roundworm C. elegans, with just 302 neurons, has a primitive version of the circuit, which means the drive for reward is older than complex thought, older than emotion, older than almost anything we consider distinctly human. Every human culture uses psychoactive substances. Marcus Aurelius started each day with opium and wine. By AD 312, Rome had 793 opium shops. When Ireland's temperance movement convinced half the population to quit alcohol, many switched to ether. Quick high, no hangover, just terrible taste and occasional facial burns from belching near flames. We're not alone. Siberian reindeer seek hallucinogenic mushrooms and eagerly lick the urine of others who've consumed them. Elephants raid fermented fruit. The drive for intoxication might be as fundamental as hunger or thirst. But drugs don't just activate the pleasure circuit, they hijack it. Cocaine floods synapses with far more dopamine than any natural reward. Heroin mimics endorphins with overwhelming intensity. Nicotine creates Pavlovian conditioning through 200 hits per cigarette pack. Speed of delivery determines addiction potential. The faster a drug hits your brain, the more powerfully it rewires your circuitry. This explains why crack cocaine devastates communities while coca leaf chewing in the Andes doesn't. Addiction isn't weakness, it's neurobiology. A single cocaine dose creates lasting brain changes through long-term potentiation, the same mechanism that encodes memories. Your brain rewires itself, linking drug pleasure to environmental cues. That corner, that song, that friend, all become triggers. Repeated use causes long-term depression in your pleasure circuit. It becomes less responsive. You need more drug to feel normal. When you stop, neurons overshoot, creating more receptor sites than before. This is why recovering addicts remain vulnerable years later. Genetics load the gun. Environment pulls the trigger. About 40 to 60% of addiction risk is hereditary, particularly D2 dopamine receptor variations. But stress, early exposure, trauma, and poor social support determine whether vulnerability becomes addiction. Here's the paradox. While biology predisposes you to addiction, only you can recover from it. Talk therapy, 12-step programs, meditation, these create biological changes that counteract addiction's rewiring. The neuroplasticity enabling addiction also enables recovery. Your body functions as a thermostat for fat. When you lose weight, fat cells release less leptin, a hormone signaling energy stores. Lower leptin slows metabolism, intensifies hunger, and makes food more pleasurable. This isn't willpower failure. It's biology working as designed. Scientists discovered mice with defective leptin genes ate themselves into immobility. Leptin injections restored normal weight. Humans with leptin mutations show identical patterns: insatiable hunger, morbid obesity, dramatic response to treatment. These rare genetic defects account for less than 1% of obesity cases. For everyone else, the system works perfectly, maintaining your current weight, not your desired one. The food industry exploits this by engineering products combining sugar, fat, and salt, nutrients once scarce, now ubiquitous. Together, fat and sugar trigger super additive dopamine release far beyond either alone. Ice cream, donuts, chocolate, these are pleasure delivery systems designed to override satiety signals. People with certain dopamine receptor variants face a cruel paradox: less pleasure from food, but more weight gain, mirroring patterns seen in drug addiction. Romantic love is pharmacology. Seeing your beloved activates your ventral tegmental area like cocaine, while shutting down your prefrontal cortex, the judgment center. Love literally impairs your ability to assess your partner's flaws. This intense phase typically lasts 9 to 24 months before transitioning to companionate love, though some couples maintain intensity for decades. Sustained passion is possible, just rare. Orgasm occurs in the brain, not the genitals. Some people climax from nipple stimulation, foot massage, or thought alone. Brain scans show similar patterns in men and women: intense dopamine activation and judgment center deactivation. The warm afterglow is mediated by oxytocin, the bonding hormone. Oxytocin nasal spray makes people more trusting and cooperative even after betrayal. Studies of monogamous versus promiscuous voles reveal that receptor patterns for oxytocin and vasopressin determine mating behavior. While human behavior is more complex, variations in these systems likely influence fidelity patterns. Bill Lee, a Silicon Valley engineer, lost two marriages and his savings to compulsive gambling. Like drug addicts, he experienced tolerance, withdrawal, and relapse. Eventually, gambling became pure compulsion without pleasure. Gambling addicts seeking treatment attempt suicide at rates of 20-40%, exceeding most drug addictions. Gambling's power lies in uncertainty itself being pleasurable. Slot machines exploit this by extending anticipation while reels spin. Near misses, 2 of 3 matching reels, occur more frequently than chance predicts, making them particularly pernicious. Exercise can become addictive too. Jeff Tweedy, having overcome substance addiction, developed an exercise compulsion, resulting in stress fractures. Sustained exercise releases endorphins and endocannabinoids, indirectly activating dopamine circuits. Even meditation and charity activate pleasure circuits. Yoga Nidra meditation produces significant dopamine release. When people donate to charity, their nucleus accumbens lights up, often more intensely than when receiving money themselves. Most remarkably, information itself can be addictive. Monkeys consistently choose options providing advance information about rewards, even when that information can't influence outcomes. This is why you compulsively check your phone. You're chasing an information high. Within decades, we may control every neuron in the brain, including the pleasure circuit. We could create novel pleasures and decouple pleasure from addiction by resetting neural circuits. But the hardest challenge isn't technological, it's ethical. If pleasure becomes ubiquitous and controllable, what happens to meaning? The medial forebrain pleasure circuit doesn't distinguish between helping your neighbor and shooting heroin. This isn't a design flaw. It's what makes us human. The same neural machinery enables both addiction and love, scientific discovery, and artistic creation. Your pleasure circuit is a compass, not a map. It points toward reward, but can't distinguish between what will sustain you and what will destroy you. That judgment requires the prefrontal cortex, the part that can override immediate impulses for long-term values. That love temporarily shuts down. That meditation strengthens. That addiction weakens. You can't eliminate the pleasure circuit. You wouldn't want to. Without it, you'd lose motivation, joy, and connection. But you can learn to work with it. Choose which pleasures to pursue and which to resist. Build environments supporting your values. Seek help when your compass spins wildly, knowing addiction is biology, not moral failure, but recovery is choice, not chance.